Thank you, Bart and Debbie and Carrie and Richard for sharing Bart's story. What a beautiful Sabbath. Did you notice the flowers up here today? These are in honor of Harriet and Frank's 45th. And I'd have them stand today, but they're in Hawaii enjoying and celebrating. And also we have some other important family things. Phil, you notice Jennifer is not here today, but on the 3rd of July, they celebrated the birth, is that right, the 3rd of July? They celebrated the birth of little Emerson Sierra, 6 pounds, 2 ounces, is that right? And I think that for Sue and Alan, that this is your 11th grandchild, is that right? We'll never catch up with you. 11th, and Melissa has her and Mitch's little one here today, and I think this is the first time that the twins have been here. Is that right, for church? Jeff and Audrey, so it's a special Sabbath day today. And our pre-cradle row division is growing. You know, I always thought that it would be exciting to throw up on the screen some Sabbath morning on Education Sabbath all of the potential students for our elementary school and academy, but we haven't done that yet, but we might. You know, Sabbath in ancient Jewish tractates often spoke of it as the day God came in. And I understand over in Jerusalem that even today you hear that at the beginning of Sabbath. Shabbat has come into Jerusalem. And it was looked upon as an extremely special day because of God's presence in it. God came in. Don't you like that? God came in. Well, for the Jewish people, it was seen as a very special, precious gift. A day that was filled with joy, a day that they eagerly awaited all week long. They looked forward to it with great anticipation and expectation. It was a day when they could lay aside all of their weekly cares and pursue higher pursuits in life. A day that they could spend with the Lord. It was like a date every week with the God of the universe, and they were so excited about it. And they looked forward to it with such anticipation, but it was more than just knowing the presence of the Lord. It was more than that. It was extra special to the Jews for another reason. And that reason has to do with time. You know, here in the West, in modern times, we love the idea of a 5-day work week, or a 4-day work week, or if you're really blessed, a 3-day work week. And I'm not through yet, Bart. Or a 3-day work week, and what we have forgotten, or perhaps what we have never known, that in ancient times, a day off a week, a rest day a week, was an unheard of thing. Was an unheard of thing. In fact, leisure and rest was only for the very wealthy and the upper classes of society. The laboring class never experienced a day off, never experienced rest, and therefore, if you read those ancient writings, especially that the Greeks wrote, they wrote about the Jews saying that they're such a lazy people because they think that every seventh day they need a holiday. They need a holiday. Well, here, and you know, I was thinking about this because for the Jewish people, having a day a week to honor their God, to rest, said that they were no longer slaves. They were no longer slaves. They were free. And I got to thinking about this, and it occurred to me, and you may agree or disagree with this, but is it possible that here in our Western society that we have come to enjoy so much leisure time? You know, the Sabbath commandment says that 6 days shall you labor, and we have cut that down as much as possible. That we have come to enjoy so much leisure time in our family planning and outings and everything else, that Sabbath itself has lost some of its specialness, some of its uniqueness, some of its luster. Is that possible? That is what has happened here in the West. And yet, you know, you don't have to read far in Scripture to discover that Sabbath is really important to God. Sabbath is really important to God. And in fact, there in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and through 3, God has just finished his creation. And everything is good. Everything that God makes is perfect. Is perfect. And he's just finished it. And he looks upon the Sabbath, and he's upon the seventh day, and he says, I want to make this a very special day. And so from the very beginning, God himself establishes Sabbath. And then if you go over to Exodus chapter 16, there in Exodus chapter 16, Sabbath is a day of miracles. The manna stops, and yet God preserves it. He performs a miracle every Sabbath, and he nourishes his people. And then in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, you find the Sabbath as the very center of the Ten Commandments. In fact, it is the only commandment which God says, remember. Remember, and perhaps he knew that we would be so prone to forget that he thought, you know, I've got to tell them this in a special way. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. And then all through the Gospels and through the New Testament, you find Jesus himself honoring his Father by keeping the Sabbath. You find all of his followers keeping the Sabbath. And then you come to Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7, and you find that it's a part of the everlasting gospel that is to go to all of the world, that we are to worship the God who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. And there's only one day that calls for us to do that, and that's the Sabbath. And then you go to Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. And what do you find? You find that God helps us to enjoy the eternal quality of the Sabbath. The eternal quality of the Sabbath. Because there he says that in the new heavens and the new earth, that every Sabbath day we're going to come together to worship him. To worship him. And so all through the Scriptures, you see that it's important to God. But why is it important? What did he do that really made this particular day an important day? Well, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and open them to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Now, I would like for you to notice that when Moses wrote this about that first week of creation, there were only two people on this earth. One couple, Adam and Eve. There were no other races. There were no distinctions between Gentiles and Jews. When God created the Sabbath, there were only these two people, these two special people. And the Bible says by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. He rested from all his work. That's a rather amazing statement. He rested. One of the things that God chose to do to make the seventh day, the Sabbath day, a special day, he rested upon that day. There's an American historian of American religion, Dorothy Bass, who has made this statement, and I really like it. She says, in both work and rest, human beings are in the image of God. Do you hear what she's saying? She's saying that when we work, because God worked, we're being like God, and when we rest like God, and we are being like God. And then she goes on to say, and this is so true, to act as if the world cannot get along without our work for one day is a startling display. It's a startling display of pride that denies the sufficiency of our generous Maker. Isn't that true? What makes us think that the world needs us to work on God's holy day? That they can't get along without us. And then the German Protestant theologian, Jürgen Moltmann, makes the suggestion that if we neglect the biblical teaching about the rest of God, we will have to find meaning. We're forced to find meaning in our own work and in our own activities in life. And then he goes on to say, rest is God's gift, and it is not relegated to when we fall exhausted between the sheets at night. Now, when it says, and God rested, obviously it had something to do with physical rest too. I don't know about you, but after laboring all week, don't you enjoy Sabbath? Just the physical rest. The physical rest. But there's more to it than that. You know, Moses is preaching his very last sermon there in Deuteronomy. It's a long sermon. You can read the whole sermon because it takes up the whole book. And he's saying something special about the Sabbath. And if you read there in chapter 5 and verse 15, he gives us a deeper meaning to that rest. He says, remember that you were slaves. Remember that you were slaves. Every Sabbath, the follower of Jesus Christ needs to remember that we were slaves to all kinds of things before we met Jesus Christ and he delivered us. You know, when Jeff was talking this morning and sharing, I personally think that that's a wonderful ministry that he's doing. And but he shares with these people that we all need to know deliverance. Well, that is what the Sabbath is about, and that's what Moses is saying here. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. And the Lord, your God, brought you forth from there with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It's all about freedom. That's what he's saying. The slaves never had any freedom. Never had any time to rest. Never had any days off. And so every time the Jew keeps Shabbat, every time he keeps the Sabbath, he remembers that he is now free. He remembers that he is now free. But you know, in a more general sense, in a spiritual sense, Sabbath frees us from all of the weekday activities. That's a wonderful thing, folks. It's a freedom from all the deadlines, from all the appointments, from all the schedules, You know, during the week, we are slaves to our jobs. Let's face it. We're slaves to our debtors, to our creditors, I should say. To our creditors. We're slaves. We work to provide. We work to provide for ourselves and for our families. But on Sabbath, we are freed from those concerns. We are freed from those concerns. Just like the children of Israel were free from slavery in Egypt. And so the Sabbath is really a symbol of freedom from sin, freedom from the things of this world. And I think of the words, not necessarily in this context, but they still ring true of Martin Luther King when he cried out, "Free at last! I'm free at last." For the Jew, that's what Sabbath meant. They were no longer slaves. Is it any wonder that they believed, and that every Sabbath keeper should believe, that Sabbath is a precious gift? A precious gift. It's a time to reset our spiritual clocks. A time to reset our spiritual clocks. Over in Exodus 20, where God also said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." It's amazing to think that God wrote that with his own finger. Moses tells us that. God wrote that with his own finger, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Only the Sabbath commandment ties into the creation and reminds us of who we are and why we are here. As Malton, the German theologian, says, the Sabbath is grounded in the story of creation. And it is Sabbath towards which the whole of creation moves. Sabbath, a time for rest. And you know what we should be doing, I think, is studying and learning every Sabbath what it means to rest in Jesus. Our scripture this morning, when Jesus said, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." What does that mean? We are to experience his forgiveness. We are to experience oneness with him. We are to experience true peace in our hearts and in our lives. But there's a second element there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3 that is so vital and important. And it says, "And God made it holy." Did you know this is the first place in all of Scripture that talks about holiness? And amazing as it may seem, it's holiness of time, not holiness of things. Holiness of time because God is present in that time. God is literally present in that time. And he comes to us on that special day that he has set aside to help us to grow to be more like him. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says, "Also I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, make them holy." I, the Lord, I'm the one that brings justification and sanctification into their lives. In fact, what God is saying through Ezekiel is that the Sabbath is a sign of righteousness by faith. That's what it's to be, a sign of righteousness by faith, that God is the one who makes us holy. And that is one of the key reasons that on Sabbath, all work, all of our work, is to come to an end. Because our work can contribute nothing to our salvation or our righteousness. And so we come to the Sabbath and we lay everything down because nothing that we can do, absolutely nothing, can aid us in that time that we want to spend with him. The great, great rabbi, Abraham Heschel, writes, "Unless one learns how to relish the taste of Sabbath," I like that, "unless one learns to relish the taste of Sabbath while still in this world, unless one is initiated in the appreciation of eternal life, one will be unable to enjoy the taste of eternity in the world to come." And then I like this thought given to us by Professor Molly Marshall. She's a professor of theology at the Central Baptist Theological Seminary. And she tells us in her book that she was listening to a great scholar and a great man of faith who's a rabbi, Rabbi Paley. And she says, this is what he taught us. He taught us that Sabbath allows us to enter a sanctuary of time. All week long, we do. On Sabbath, we are. Did you catch that distinction? All week long, we do. But on Sabbath, we are. This is the meeting point of the holy between God and humanity. We must not continue creating without communing with a creator. Sabbath speaks of freedom and redemption. A time to grow in Christ. A time to share Christ. A time to worship the God, the great God of this universe. A time to become more and more like him. That's what Sabbath is all about. There's a second element in chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "And God blessed the seventh day." What does that mean? What does it mean for God to bless? For God to bless. I'd like to suggest to you that it means that he gave to the Sabbath day a very special quality. If you read the whole of the Bible, there's no other day in all of the Bible that he blesses. There's no other day in all of the Bible that he made holy. There's no other day in all of the Bible on which he rested. And he blessed this. He gave it a quality of goodness. A quality of goodness. He put his presence into it, which would suggest that through observing this day, God wants to bless his followers. And so it's to be a day of Sabbath blessings, a day of Sabbath blessings. Jesus himself said over in Mark 2, 27 and 28, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." God made the Sabbath to be a special blessing to every one of his followers. And you know, this morning, we have a few moments, and we have three mics, I think, in the aisleways. And I would just like to invite you to share just one blessing, just in one sentence. Just one Sabbath blessing that you look forward to every single Sabbath. Just raise your hand and a mic will be right there. There's one in each aisle. One special blessing that you look forward to every Sabbath. Ruth Ann.
Blessing the church has been to Tim all of his years, and that's a blessing to me.
Thank you, Ruth Ann. A special Sabbath blessing that you look forward to having every Sabbath. Yes, Audie, right here, Wilner.
I just love having the opportunity to read and read and read and not feel guilty.
Thank you, Adi. Yes, Ted.
I look forward every week because I remember when I was here before how wonderful it was to be. So it's a wonderful, beautiful thing for me just to come back here where I was so happy and am so happy right now. So that's a wonderful blessing, that I guess we could say a blessing of happiness.
Thank you. A wonderful blessing to worship together with God's people. Yes, right over here, Greg, and then Paula right down here.
I look forward to spending quality time with my family.
Family time. Sabbath is a family time. And right, Carl right down here, Joe, and then back there to Kathy. Yes, Paula.
I love coming to church to worship. I was thinking about this in this morning as I looked out and saw the beautiful roses and the birds and everything, and I love seeing my church family every week. I don't get to talk to you all, but you all mean very much to me.
Okay, thank you, Paula. And Joe?
Yes, I like to, what I look forward to on the Sabbath is, during the week, it's like all the cares of the world and everything just bombard me, you know, keeping schedules and doing this and doing that. And on a Sabbath day, I can just completely trust in God and put all that aside and lay it behind me and lay it down and just meditate completely on Him.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Kathy, right back here.
I also agree with what Joe says, but I it's a blessing to be able to come to church with my children. I'm so glad that they're here with me.
Thank you, Kathy. Bonnie?
I look forward to fellowship every Sabbath. I think it's a foretaste of heaven.
Okay, fellowship together. Anybody else? Right back there at the back, John. The arm that's waving back and forth.
I like to rest in Jesus, who is my Sabbath.
Rest in Jesus. Yes. Up here, Ingebjörg. Just raise your hand high if you, yes.
Friday evenings, it was very special in my home when I was little. And we continue that in our family when we got a family. And I will see it, Friday evening with the family is very, very special to me.
In our home, too. Thank you very much, Ingebjörg. Cammy, over here. Elsa, you go ahead.
Okay. I look forward so much to hearing the blessing the Lord has saved up for me from our pastors and our Sabbath school.
Thank you. Being together to worship. Yes, Cammy.
You said one sentence. I think I'm going to give two here. Last night at
but
worship.
But you can say them doubly fast.
We were talking last night, and we're having worship, and Marissa was saying, we're talking about the Sabbath. She says, oh, I love the Sabbath. She said, especially now that I have a job, I have a reason to want to rest now. And it showed a whole different perspective on life, I think, for her. And I think the Sabbath for me is also just a time, like everybody else said, Joe and what's her name? Adi. how we really need this day. It's therapeutic. It's wonderful. I work really hard, and I think all of us do. I can for the whole church. I'm going to say we work all week. Friday, we want to get the yard cleaned up. We want to get it mowed and edged and blown and everything. So Friday night, you can sit down there on the front porch and just say, thank you, Lord, for the beauty created for us. And
amen.
I just love the rest that we get.
Yes. Any of you love the out of doors on Sabbath? Nature? You know, Lady Bird Johnson passed away, and she was known for one major thing, and that was beautifying our highways and the flowers. You have a lot to thank her for when you drive down the freeways and see all of the flowers. Yes, was there someone else over here? Yes, right here, Karen.
I just enjoy the peace of the Sabbath, the peace, even though sometimes there's things going on with family or friends or whatever, even I can just experience just an overall peace through all that.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? one last person that may want to, yes, Mark?
And we know we won't always be able to worship together.
Thank you,
Mark. It's more special.
Thank you. There's a beautiful, yes, Helen.
I enjoy getting up in the morning and sitting outside and watching all the birds in my yard. And this morning, I was lucky enough to see two young owls that were just learning to plop between the branches and still stay up there.
Helen has so many stories from real life around her place. Thank you, Helen. You know, there's, let's see, right? Oh, okay, Ken?
I enjoy coming to Sabbath school and taking part in the study of the Bible together.
Thank you, Ken. Yes, Sherry, right there.
Mine's a little different. I enjoy memorizing things. I memorize Bible texts. And I've found 41 Bible texts to me that show me that the seventh day is the Sabbath. And I want to keep it holy because I love him. Not because it says I have to, but because I want to. I love him. And that's my way. That's what I want to do. If anybody knows any more than 41, let me know what they are because I want to find them. And I'd like to memorize them too.
Thank you, Sherry. And that is so important, isn't it? The Sabbath is meaningless unless we love him. Anyone else? Yes, Dad.
Last August, I lost my companion, and I'm alone through the week. But on Sabbath morning, there are so many loving greetings.
Thank you. Thank you. Fellowship, friendship is so vital and important. O day of rest and gladness. O day of joy. I invite you to stand. You may take out your hymnals. We don't have it on the board today. And it's I'm sorry the hymn number is not in the bulletin, but you can find it in your index.
Oh,
Oh, Father in heaven, we want to praise your name for your forethought in providing such a special day. A day, Lord, that you've set aside where you want to meet with us, where you want to share yourself with us. Lord, we are truly amazed. And although we want to walk with you every day of the week, Lord, it is such a wonderful freedom to be able to lay all of those weekly, daily things aside and to focus upon you, the King of the universe. Lord, thank you, and let this Sabbath day find us each one enjoying the Sabbath day blessings that only you can give. In Christ, your name, we pray. Amen.
I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me,